Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate Revenge of the Sith. 1 minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm John from John.com. Mm-hmm.
I'm L. Adam, and I host a trivia night at Barcelona Bar in Manhattan on Mondays.
That's true. You don't plug that enough.
Cheers.
I'm not on here all the time.
Well, anyway, thanks for coming on this time, at least.
Cool.
We are talking about minute 59 of Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith. It starts off with Obi-Wan beheading a wounded Magma Guard who'd been crushed underneath a giant 16-ton weight. And it ends a minute later with Obi-Wan and Grievous dueling in earnest.
Dueling.
I like that we just settled on it being 16 tons.
Yeah. What do you get? So he dispenses the Magna Guards pretty easily.
Yes.
Yes. I don't think we talked about that last episode, yesterday's episode, that
so
Magna
about
Guard
58?
Whimpers.
Okay. Yeah, he turns into like Muttley for a second.
Yeah, so we never got to hear them speak properly, but we did get to hear them.
Yeah.
I like their will to fight, though. Like in the beginning, one tries to fight with one fights without a head, and now one's like, "Yo, I'm still doing this."
Right.
Oh, I thought he was trying to run away. At that
no,
point.
I think he was like trying to get up. He was trying to pull a Black Knight.
Oh, wow!
Right.
It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah. So he kills them, cuts the one's head off,
and then everyone's gonna shoot, and they're told to not shoot.
Yes. Now a minute ago,
literally a minute ago,
Grievous goes, "Kill him."
Right. Yes.
And then everyone's ready to fire, and he's like, "Wait, wait, guys, no.
Yeah,
I'll take
it's
him."
It's like, "Freeze, nobody move." Well, which is it, son? You want us to freeze, or you want us to get down on the ground?
Yeah. Which is why I call it Grievous's lament, because it's a very regrettable decision, especially in hindsight, after watching the rest of this movie.
And he's got three hinds.
Just seeing
minute 57.
Oh, sorry.
How easy. This movie is. Okay, I like this movie, but it has the worst Jedi deaths in the entire series. With Sakura being the worst Jedi death in any Star Wars movie.
Wait, are you talking about deaths of Jedis?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't remember those yet. We're going to get to a lot of them soon, I guess. Yeah. But are they really worse than Coleman Trebor, who's the one that he shows up on the platform at the Petronaki Arena
in Attack of the Clones?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He just like shows up and he's like, "Hello," and then like it just gets shot by Jango Fett like three times and falls off the balcony. No,
her.
He's like, "Hello there."
I feel like I've complained about her death in a couple other like, but it's just, you know, the whole 66 sequence, and she's just walking, and she like goes, "Huh?" And then she throws her arms up as she gets shot in the back, like, once. Like, there's no, like, awareness. Like, something's going to happen. Whereas Ki-Adi Mundi's like, "Hey, wait a second. Why are you guys running with me?"
Yeah.
And he's deflecting shots, but then he gets shot in the stomach, which means he can't deflect all those shots. And there's only, like, 10 guards, maybe? There's, like, 30 or 40 droids. Obi wouldn't have stood a chance. And the other dumbest deaths are the two Jedi Masters that go with Mace and Kit Fisto.
Yes.
Because
wasn't there one with a cerebral hemorrhage?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's like Sith are supposed to be your specialty.
Toilet.
Yeah. And it's like they know they're going to face a Sith Lord, and those two are just like,
they don't do entrances that well. They don't.
Where they're just like, hey, let's stand here and wait.
Well, they're also really out of practice because what are they, fought one Sith in the past 1,000 years or something? So,
yeah, but how do those guys get to be masters? At least Fisto is like, hey, guys, check it out.
So you're bringing this up because you're thinking they should have just killed Obi with a blast.
But imagine how funny that would be if his story arc just ended.
Obi-Wan's?
Yeah, like if these movies were done, Phantom Menace was the first ever Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And it's in that order. Mm-hmm. And he just dies right here.
Or he's paralyzed.
He's like, hello there. Yeah. Bing, 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 bing. Dead. That's it.
Right.
Yeah, that would certainly be a different movie then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then I guess Grievous would have kept going, and then there would have had been a fight between the last battle would have been between Grievous and
Anakin. Obi-Wan could have used his dark Anakin could have used his dark side powers to resurrect Obi-Wan.
Ah, gotcha.
And make him fight for like the Ice Army or whatever that's called. The White Walkers.
Right. I've never seen an episode of Game of Thrones.
Oh really?
Or even the books.
But you knew what that was from.
Yes.
So Grievous says, step back, I will deal with this Jedi slime myself.
Yeah.
Stand back.
Jedi slime threw me off, because I guess we're usually hearing, like, rebel scum or...
Well, the previous Jedi he killed were slime beings.
Oh, that's a good...
Really? Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Slime.
I also like how his cloak's only attached on one side. How does that not fall off?
Well, no, doesn't he do both?
No, he does like this, and then it just kind of like falls off itself. Like, there's only one visible like clasp.
Oh.
I couldn't tell if it was. So, is he detaching it, or is he doing like a shoulder brush?
That's
like,
what I thought he was doing.
I thought he was detaching it. I could be wrong, because there's only one visible clasp on the cloak, and it's only on that side.
Well, it would make sense if there was a string connecting them. He would just clip one, and then they would just. You would need to have clips on both sides, because once you unclipped one.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like,
how do you have less clasps when you have more arms? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
yeah, you should have more clasps.
Also, clasps. Yeah. Great. Would you guys groan at this or enjoy it? When he goes, when he's like, Count Dooku taught me the ways of the Jedi arts, and he does the forearm thing, and like Obi-Wan goes, Dooku didn't have forearms.
I do like the phrase Jedi arts, though. It sounds like it's like something you take in high school.
Right? Yeah. Dooku with the whistle and sweats.
Third period. He's like, you fool, I majored in Jedi arts. Well, interestingly, there was another line here.
Lion?
There was another line, another piece of dialogue here, where because Grievous says, like, you forgot, I've been trained in the Jedi arts by Count Dooku. And then Obi-Wan counters, he's like, you forget, I trained the Jedi who defeated Dooku.
Oh.
Which is a nice line. Also, like, indicate, like, Obi-Wan kind of taking pride in his Padawan also is something that we could have used here.
That would have worked. I like that.
Yeah. I don't know why.
They had to cut it because they had that extra minute of him deciding what to do on the rafters.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
So it all equals. Maybe we'll see the TV version.
Yes. Also, I feel a wasted opportunity is with 4 lightsabers. Mm-hmm. There should have been like an orange one and just never explained. And then, of course, the novels would be like, well, this lightsaber.
Only those 3 colors or
it would have been
colors.
Cool if there was like different and it's like, whoa, how do you get that one? Or it'd blow people's minds if one was red.
A 4 ink pen, like blue, red, green, and black.
It's like, how does he have a Sith lightsaber? What's going on?
Well, he hangs out with Sith. That would make more sense.
But his collection's all that he had killed.
Oh, right.
So it'd be like, there's a story there? You know?
Well, wait, isn't what did he...
He killed what's-her-name, right? But she didn't have a lightsaber. Ventress's...
Shaak-Ti? No.
Nah, I was thinking about Clone Wars stuff. The what's-her-name? Mother or something?
Mother Superior.
I heard she jumped the gun. Was that... The Shaak-Ti scene already happened, right? That was at the beginning? The one that got cut?
That would have been at the very beginning.
Okay. And hers is blue, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. You know more about that than I do. Mm.
But yeah, just have him have different colored lightsabers. And then it's just kind of like, wow, that's an interesting thing that we won't explain.
It is a little convenient that it's, you know, like green, blue, or, you know what I mean? That it's evenly distributed.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that if it was random, or maybe, I don't know, maybe he's just got favorites for each one. Maybe
he probably has like 10 of them.
Right.
But he's like, I want to have them balanced.
Yeah,
just like little Andy.
It's like picking ties out in the morning.
And do you think each arm is like a different form of lightsaber combat? And how does that training go? Like, all right, we're just going to fight with this hand.
I think a lot of times he doubles up. Like you see him like doing like the same movement, but in like asymmetrical or something.
It's right,
like, two arms come together.
I don't think he was that well trained either. I think he, you know,
clearly he could not hit the floor a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Which
well, plus, yeah, then he does a weird, like he's like, look, I was trained in the Jedi arts. Then he does something that you know is unlike anything we'd ever seen, and it's just like, yeah,
it's like the first day of training. He's like, Dooku, he's like, don't do that. But now he's like, Dooku's dead. Check out how cool I am.
Although there must be, there are Jedi with four arms, so theoretically he could have been trained by a different, you know, there's a different Dexter Dooku? Jetster Jedi.
Right.
Not him, but like that same race. So
there's a Foreman that you mentioned before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go. Foreman San Hill, right? Yeah. Foreman was
Wat-Tambor.
Sam Hill. Yeah. What did the Sam Hill my forearms do?
He's no mere Foreman.
Also, a force push would be handy right now. And he's doing a slow advance. You're just like... Phew.
Yeah.
Just, well, because then it would turn into like two kids fighting. Because like... Grievous is like, I'm just going to keep swinging these lightsabers, and if anything gets in my way, and then Obi-Wan is just holding him by the forehead. Yeah. Force holding him by the forehead.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Interestingly, the script doesn't describe this helicopter lightsaber sequence. It's just like, you know, Grievous ignites four lightsabers and then, you know, swirls to fight him or something like that. You know, advances to fight him, something like that.
Does it mention the floor and all that stuff getting cut up?
Which makes me think that this was either an animator or George Lucas sitting over the shoulder of an animator being and somebody being like, oh, what if you just spun him around like helicopters?
That's a good trick.
That's cool. Yeah. You know, oh man, that would be great if the animator's working on it. He's like, yeah. So then he rotates his hand, and George Lucas is like, oh, let's try spinning. It makes me think that it was done in, you know, when they were rendering it. Somebody else came up with that.
Yeah,
which it's a cool enough thing, and for weirdly, I'm okay with Grievous doing it more so than if it was, you know, an actual Jedi or something like that, you know, or because it's Grievous and he's just this weird kind of machine man thing. I'm okay with it.
It's not like an official Jedi move. It's just him riffing.
I mean, it was either that or juggling. Like, you could just start throwing him up.
when he approaches Obi-Wan after taking off the cloak and everything, I definitely...
Decloaking.
Yes. I relate to Anakin, where every time, for some reason, I remember him being taller. Every time, I'm like, wait, is...
General Grievous?
Yeah, I'm like, I thought he was bigger.
I think once he takes off the cloak, he loses a lot of his... He's just like a
soggy, little... It's all shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Yeah, he totally should not take his cape off. He should keep that on all the time.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure the animators were glad not to have to animate the cape any more than they had to.
I do, however, I really like the cadence of the lightsabers igniting, that like 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of thing.
The actual like cycle, the helicopter and the everything about that is kind of cool. So
yeah,
even though it just may be weird that, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think if I was like 10 years old, I would have been like, holy cow, just see that scene where the four lightsabers.
What else do you do with like those extra two arms?
Also, perfect time for one of the droids in the back to just shoot Obi-Wan in the back.
That's true.
Like, he's just like, whoa, look at those lightsabers. It's like, pew. Grievous gets mad. He's like, look, boss, in the long run, this is a good thing. You get a new lightsaber.
You'll thank me for it
later. We don't have to worry. We're good.
You're right. I do get a new lightsaber. I do. So also similarly, like, he's like, I've been trained in the Jedi arts, and he's standing there and he's taking off his robe and he's activating his arms and and Obi-Wan's just standing there watching him do this. I guess the Jedi code again. You can't like attack someone unless they're ready to be.
Well, there's like I said, etiquette when there's a new trick revealed. You have to give it a moment.
Yeah,
it's like a prestige, and then
And the first rule of Jedi is you have to take off your cloak.
That's true.
He's like,
maybe that's what he meant. When he's like,
look, I did it. Now we can fight.
I'm a Jedi like the Jedi.
Ta-da.
Cloaks down, sabers up.
Obi-Wan's just like, he was trained.
He mastered step one.
And Obi says, you'll move. That one I feel like doesn't get quoted. Like, you don't like it
that as much. It's fine.
Yeah,
it just doesn't do much for me. Like, hello there is great because it makes me smile.
Yeah.
But your move is just kind of like, that's just standard.
Yeah.
Like, it's pulled it out of, like, you know, fight dialogue bingo.
Typical chess dialogue.
I mean, you guys ever watch that musical? Do you guys remember that show, It's Your Move? Does anyone remember that show?
What was the...
Nope.
It was like Jason Bateman in between Silver Spoons and...
Really?
And Hogan?
Arrested Development. Oh, the Hogan Family. Yeah, I guess. And it was a really good show. I remember really thinking it was funny, but
I remember it existing, but I don't remember what the deal was.
His mother was divorced, and he was like the wise ass genius kid of this woman, and like he would like torment like remember on the Married with Children, the couple that lived across the street.
Yeah, Marcy and
Jefferson.
Before Jefferson.
Before Steve.
Steve was dating Justin Bateman's mother. And relentlessly being tortured by... It was like this whole Freudian thing where he was trying to stop him from dating his mother and all that stuff. But it was a very funny show, but it only lasted one season or something. So anyway, it's your move. I'm sure it sucks. I'm sure if I watched it now, I'd be like, oh my God, I thought this was funny. But, you know,
Does it have anything? Were they a moving company or is he a chess player?
Yeah, it's not that's a good constantly question. Moves.
It definitely had a chess kind of like logo. It had like a checkerboard kind of thing behind the logo. And I think like maybe one of the things was like a knight or something. But I don't remember if he was like I said, he was supposed to be a genius or something.
Right. So maybe he was like a chess prodigy.
I'll look it up during the break. But
I'm going to look for that tonight.
Anyway. Jason Bateman, do we want to see him in a Star Wars movie? Or too ironic?
Could we? I mean, it depends. I mean, after a while, the anthology movies, if they start going in different directions, maybe eventually. Like, I don't want to see him just being like a background officer.
Oh, no.
Like having background like a officer. One. Yeah. Like Christian Slater in Star Trek VI. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
But I want, like, if they just did a completely different style of movie, if they had, you know, kind of a more lighthearted, kind of
the life of an officer, like
Booth Gullet. He can play, you know, heavier.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, did you see Ozark?
I've seen one or two episodes, and he's good in it, but I need to watch the whole thing.
I heard that he was heavy in the beginning, but then he turns into his smirky little typical stuff after.
In Ozark?
Yes.
Well, he never totally loses that Jason Bateman-ish quality.
How can he? He's a Bateman.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
But I would like to see him in there.
Anyway, I want every actor eventually to be in Star Wars. Yeah. I just want all movies to be Star Wars movies from here on out. So
pretty much.
Well, that's what I think with the anthologies. I hope they mix in more other types of movies.
Yeah.
Someone right now is yelling, I hope not.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of
the anthologies are for.
Yeah.
If you want your main, you know, keep the main saga movies, you know, the standard by the numbers kind
same
of
tone.
You know. And that's what, not by the numbers in a bad way, but, you know, hitting the notes being Star Wars-y movies. But then take these anthology movies and do some other, branch out, do new types of movies just set in Star Wars, and that's great.
Yeah, like a new pope or something like that.
There you go.
A new pope?
Space pope.
Yeah.
Space pope.
Space pope. I love that show.
Grievous. I don't know much about like the actor, the voicing. Who's the voice of him?
I think his name is Michael Wood, maybe?
Something like Matthew?
Matthew Wood? Anyway, he's one of the guys who works like for Lucasfilm doing sound.
You know, is he the It sounds like the voice of that, like the guy who owned Anakin.
Watto? No, a different guy.
That's Alex's impression.
Yeah,
I think it's your
confusing. Yeah. Yes.
And I heard on an earlier episode that John DiMaggio was bummed he didn't get right. Or am I misremembering?
Did you tell me that?
No, I think I heard it on an episode.
On our episodes?
Yeah,
maybe.
Because I think he did the voice in the animated miniseries.
Oh, right. Maybe that was on Weekend Edition. We were talking. I don't know. I feel like that. Hmm.
I know I've heard it on something here.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, earlier we were talking about Gary Oldman was originally cast as the voice.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah?
And then there was a...
Was he going to do like a Sid Vicious
like
kind
of
take
on it?
A
union dispute that he was like... There was something going along where he was like, oh, I'm not going to do it because of this technicality, but I think it might have been just like he... saw what the part was or something like that. Went to his agent like, can you get me out of this?
Because I remember before the movie came out, we were working in the comic book shop and your buddy who was working on like the effects, you were like, so I heard this weird thing. I was like, what? And he's like, so there's this giant monster that Gary Oldman's doing the voice. At one part, he shoots out of a spaceship and he's walking with his claws on the ship. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, that sounds really dumb. And ended up being a little dumb.
True.
Yeah.
All of it. It
ended up being just a little dumb. Hooray.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, but I don't know who they said that, you know, the guy who got the voice, you know, got the part, auditioned for it and was anonymously submitted or something like that. But I think
safely
it's
safely anonymous.
Yeah. Leia is the voice of General Grievous. he did, it wasn't just like, oh, let's hire the guy that works here. It's like, oh, we listened to all the tapes and we liked this guy. Oh, it turns out it's the guy that works here.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
My kids are in a Nightmare Before Christmas phase.
I thought you meant they were in the movie. I was like, wow.
They're in the movie as animation. Huh?
I said, what's this?
Nightmare Before Christmas?
It's something new and strange.
Something new and strange. And the voice of Jack, I couldn't place it.
What's his name? Sarandon, right?
It's like the director of the movie.
No, it's Chris Sarandon.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, never mind.
Does Danny Elfman do the singing?
He does the singing,
yeah,
yes.
He's the singing voice, but then the...
All right, maybe I'm thinking of something else. Then.
His speaking voice is...
So it's Susan Sarandon, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Tim Robbins?
Through a pitch.
What was his name in Princess Bride again?
Mm. Humperdinck?
Yes.
It's Engelbert Humperdinck as the voice of...
Is it really? Indigo Montoya, You Killed My Father, Prepare to Die. Wallace Shawn?
Oh, yes.
Wallace Shawn? You want to see him in Star Wars?
Yeah.
Sure. How is he not already in Star Wars? Yeah. Hasn't he done a voice of some
Count Dooku?
Didn't he? Isn't he a voice of one of the characters on... Maybe not.
In Star Trek, he was on Deep Space Nine.
Right. Well, that was, I think we've told this story before, but that was, he came in.
I was just thinking that story in my head.
You know, at one point he comes into the store, you know, most people, you know, most of the customers that would come into the store, if they were famous or not, they would, you know, we should leave them alone for the most part. But somebody that we worked with got excited and saw him and looked and like, you're the Grand Negus!
And I love that you do his voice, too, because what this guy sounded like.
And then he was just like, all right, I'll see you in the car, like to his family or whoever that he was with, and he left the store.
He just immediately left.
Yeah.
That's like when another one of our coworkers, when Neil Patrick Harris walked in one time, he goes, hey, Doogie, and he goes, that's not my name, and just left.
Yeah, that wasn't as soon as he walked in. That was like he was ready to buy something, too.
But he still came back a lot. Oh, he was a regular.
He came back later. He was great. But... Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta. That's what you get when you're famous.
Is there anyone who that happened to who didn't walk out?
Yeah, a lot of people were cool with that.
Michael Jackson.
I was always in school when Michael Jackson would show up.
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever, because like he would, I don't know, that was all, this is turning into like retail talk. But,
yes. I used to be a retailer.
What was the MSRP of the
Pete the Magic?
Most people were cool. I don't think anybody, you know, I can't think of anybody just being upset about being found out, right, other than just kind of like that level, like of just being like, okay, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
But nobody was just like, you know, leave me alone.
Leave me alone. I didn't go into it for the recognition.
Did any actors from Star Wars ever come in just as people? I know Peter Mayhew famously was there, but was there any, like, did everyone ever come in as a customer?
Didn't Gunray come in?
That was a signing, too.
Oh, it was? Okay. Then I
like
think
him coming in the new Gunray costume.
It's like, thanks for recognizing me, guys. Here, you can keep this mask. It's
all sweaty.
No. Although I don't know if I've ever brought this up, but I still remember one time Mark Hamill calling the store and me being on the intercom going like, hey, Mark Hamill on line one. And every head in the store just looked at me like, what? Mark Hamill.
You guys should have just done that just randomly. Like, yeah. Oh, we got Harrison Ford on Harry
Make it
Ford.
Seem like we're cool.
Did I ever tell you my old boss at Barnes & Noble one time, Harrison Ford went to the store. I think I might have told you guys. And she helped him bring some stuff back to the apartment. He's like, yeah, you can come in and hang out for a bit. And she's like, cool. And he's like, you can call me Harry.
Oof.
I don't think I've ever met anyone from Star Wars in the store. I met Billy Dee Williams at a con, but that's
it. Oh, yeah. That's a canned hunt.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Wrong show, but Karen Allen was always very nice. Mm-hmm. And I think she came in with Wallace Shawn. That might have been the same time because they're friends, I think. Or they were.
Maybe New Earth was amazing.
But,
Yeah. Mm.
She was on Star Trek.
That's what the part of what didn't she wasn't she trying to buy a Star Trek
I think
costume
so, yeah.
or something like that? Anyway, but this is totally turning into name drop minute. But
got a lot of them.
Karen Allen was totally cool, and especially just being recognized and being misrecognized because somebody once made the mistake of like, "Hey, I loved you in Superman."
I think Karen Allen was the first celebrity I ever saw at a comic book panel.
Hmm.
Like I remember going and like, "Oh my god, that's the girl from Raiders of the Lost Ark."
There Interesting. You go.
Good story, huh?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Anything else for this minute?
Yeah, we got way, way far afield from this minute.
Yes.
So one time I was stocking comic books. in my underwear.
And anybody have anything else to say about minute 59? 5-9.
59?
No.
Jedi Slime, Grievous.
Interesting colors. Satura.
Yes, this has been minute 59, and if you're interested in buying a Star Wars shirt or phone case or laptop case or sweatshirt or any of that stuff, go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch. Get some cool stuff there. And we're on Twitter, at Star Wars Minute. So let me say that again. We're on Twitter, at Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars.
Should I say it again? I'll do it again.
Minute.
We're on Twitter, at...
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.